Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 3, and verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli.
Like the scripture we just read this morning said, in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. Now, the Bible doesn't exactly say how long this ministry lasted, but many scholars and many people believe that Jesus' ministry lasted about 3 years. And at the time when Jesus went to the cross, he was about 33 years old. Now, there's this thing that people do or people say today as they're getting ready to celebrate the year of their 33rd birthday. Many people refer to this as their Jesus year, meaning the year that Jesus went, died on the cross, he accomplished this great feat for mankind. And many people will say, well, this being my Jesus year, this is the time to take life seriously and accomplish something great. Accomplish something, be serious about life, and finally do something great. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that when it comes to thinking about the things that Jesus accomplished while he was here on earth, he did so many things during that three-year period that I would say the oldest person in this room has not accomplished as much as what Jesus did during his short ministry. I would even say that everything that every person in this room has done, we could combine it and it wouldn't even come anywhere near to accomplishing the things that Jesus did or doing the things that Jesus did while he was here on earth. In John chapter 21, verse 25, we're told that there were so many things that Jesus did that we don't even have record of. Beginning with verse 25 says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Jesus accomplished so much during his short ministry and did something so wonderful for us that we need to constantly remember what it was that Jesus did for us. Now, thinking of this concept of this Jesus year, so to speak, I've been thinking about this a lot, and the main reason I've been thinking about that, because as of last Monday, I have completed my Jesus year. Yes, I just turned 34 last Monday. And if you didn't wish me happy birthday, you can do it afterwards. But I have just completed my Jesus year. And when I thinking of this concept, when I turned 33, I had heard of it. I kind of knew it was a thing that people said. However, I did something really different that I typically don't do. Shortly after my 33rd birthday, I sat down and I made a list of things I wanted to accomplish during that year. Now, I've never been one of those people to sit down and make lists. I've never done New Year's resolutions or anything like that. Well, I may have said I was going to do something, but around the 15th of January, that died out pretty quick. But I've never been one to sit down and make lists. But I did that for some reason. I can't tell you why. I just made a list of things I wanted to accomplish last year, from November to November of last year. And as the year has progressed, I have seen many of those things on the list actually happen that I made. And I didn't really plan for it when I made the list. I didn't really expect it, to be honest. And some things it took literally almost the whole year to see happen. But crazily enough, things that I had written down on that list started happening. And as I turned 34 last Monday, I was thinking about this idea of, well, what do I do now that this year is over? And I think it kind of hit me, you know what? I don't want this Jesus year to be over. You know, I think there are a lot of things that I accomplished this past year that I'm very grateful for, spiritually speaking and other ways as well. But I think it hit me last week that just because my 33rd year has come to an end, it doesn't mean that this next year can't be a year for Jesus. And I would say for everyone in here this morning, no matter how old you are, when your birthday is, when your next birthday is, when your last birthday was, I say that for all of us here today, as we're coming to the end, coming closer to the end of this year, we need to be motivated to make this next year our year of Jesus. And I think there's several things that we can do this morning that can keep us focused, keep our minds motivated on putting Jesus first, on remembering his sacrifice, on doing things to imitate ourselves after Jesus. So just for a few minutes this morning, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how we can make, individually, all of us, make this our year of Jesus. The first thing I think that's really important for all of us to do is to simply show love to others. Now, this is something that I would say some people excel with more than others. Some people are just more natural being loving and caring and showing that they are loving and caring than others. In fact, if you ask my family, they would probably say that I don't do a really good job of sharing love or showing that I love other people. It doesn't mean that I don't, but I just don't always express it as well as I guess I should or could. We need to share, or we need to show our love to others. Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he gives a list of things that we in the faith consider really important. Knowledge and faith, things that we have to have if we want to live a godly life. But he says, if you don't have love, you are nothing. Like a clanging cymbal, you are nothing. We have to incorporate love in our lives. We have to let the world see that we love them, that we have to show our love. Paul's description in 1 Corinthians 13, these beautiful words. He said, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And in the context, he continues talking about some things that will come to an end. So we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when these things come to an end, love will still remain. We need to focus on showing love to others. It said love is patient. Paul said love is patient and kind. I say we look to Jesus. Jesus was someone who was patient and kind with people. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. And in the context here, Jesus is not having a wonderful day. In terms of John the Baptist has just been murdered. And for quite some time, Jesus is just wanting to be alone, be by himself. Yet he was so popular, he was so famous, he had so many people go, you know, following him everywhere he went. He couldn't be left alone. And that was happening here. He was trying to be alone by himself, and then all these people were just flocking to them. And rather than saying, y'all need to get lost, I'm going to go be by myself for a while, stay away from me, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't turn people away. Notice, let's begin with verse 13. It said, now when Jesus heard this, talking about what had happened to John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus didn't turn these people away, even though he wanted to be left alone. He was patient. He was kind. He was compassionate. And he ministered to these people's needs. That's what love does. Love puts other people before ourselves, even at times when maybe we don't feel like it. At times when maybe we just want to be alone, be away by ourselves. That's what love is. Love is patient and love is kind. Love isn't arrogant or rude. I think we all know people, and we all have people in our lives who are both of those things. And I, for one, try not to stay around people like that too long, simply because I get annoyed. But we have to remember that if we're going to show love to others, we have to make sure that certain characteristics don't come out. We don't need to be rude with people. We need to be patient with people. We don't need to think higher of ourselves because of who we are or what we do. Oh, I do this. I make this much amount of money. No, that's not how we need to be. We need to be loving to others. We need to be loving to our neighbors, to the people around us. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. There was a time when Jesus was put to the test by a lawyer. He was asking him a question to trick him. In verse 25 it said, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He asked this question, who is my neighbor? And if we ask ourselves this question today, well, maybe we think of, well, the person who lives next door to us is our neighbor. And that's true. They're our neighbor. But the example that Jesus gives here of a neighbor is actually a complete stranger. We see he tells this story of this man who is on a road and he gets robbed and beaten up by thieves. And a couple men see him laying there and actually go out of their way to not come in contact with this person. One man was a priest, a man of God, went out of his way to not help someone. One man was a Levite from the tribe of the priest, should have been religious people, should have been willing to stop and help and take care of this person, but it was a Samaritan, someone who that the priest or Levite sure wouldn't have stopped for because they looked down upon the Samaritans, the person, they looked down upon them. And it was the Samaritan who stopped to help the man who was hurt. Not just that, he took him, he cleaned his wounds, he took him to a hotel and put him up and even told the person, I'm going to give you this certain amount of money and when I come back, if I owe you more, I will pay it. That's what neighbors do for each other. That man was showing love to a complete stranger. For us today, we need to, if we're going to show love to other people, it needs to be to everybody. complete strangers, people who maybe we wouldn't talk to, maybe we wouldn't associate with. We need to go out of our way not to pass by someone on the other side, but to show love and have an opportunity to show our love to them. And then in return, they see Jesus living in us. So that's one thing we can do this morning to make this a year of Jesus. And I know there are a lot of people in here who do a really good job of showing love to others. But it's also one of those things, no matter how good we are at doing something, there's always room for improvement. We need to be kind. We need to be patient, not arrogant, not insist that we always get our way on everything, like 1 Corinthians 13 says. Because when we love someone, we'll put others' needs above our own. We need to show love to the world. Second thing we need to do, making it a year of Jesus, is we need to simply share Jesus with the world. The most important task that we have as Christians, and it's not just a request that Jesus made when he left earth. He didn't say, if you feel like it, go out and tell the world about me. That's not what he said. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. I know this, excuse me, 28. I know this is a scripture all of you are familiar with. But in verse 18, it says, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. There are two command words that we see there at the beginning of verse 19. Go and make. It's our job to go into the world, to teach the world about Jesus, to help make new disciples for Jesus. It's not a request. It's not just if you have time. This is a command that's given by Jesus. And I would dare say that every single one of us in here can do a lot better at this. Because when we look out at the world, all the people who are out there, just in this city, who don't have Jesus, who don't know about Jesus, we have such an opportunity. And we need to share Jesus with them. We need to share Jesus because it's the greatest message that we have to share. The gospel is the good news. I don't know about you, but when I get good news, I have the tendency to want to run and tell people about it. If something good happens to me, if I, you know, got a promotion at work or something, you want to tell people, right? You want to tell people about things, exciting things that are happening in your lives. Why would we not want to tell the world about the greatest news that we have, which is Jesus, which we had a Savior who was willing to die for us, who was raised on the third day, who ascended into heaven? Why wouldn't we want to tell people about that? Paul, he said in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, he says in Romans 1, verse 6, 16, excuse me, Romans 1, 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We were talking about this a little bit in Bible class this morning, how there was a time when God had one chosen people. The Jews were God's chosen people. But now, everybody can be one of God's chosen people. We need to remember that. But a person cannot be a child of God unless they're taught. A person cannot do what they need to do unless someone tells them what they need to do. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip runs across the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone guides me? We need to guide people to the truth. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I would dare say that no one in here would say we're ashamed of the gospel, but we probably don't always share the gospel like we should. We don't need to be ashamed. We have the greatest news and we need to share it. We need to remember why we need to share Jesus. And the reality is that there are lost people in the world. And that's on us. We were commanded to go out into the world and teach Jesus. We need to remember that command. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." Look out in Albany, Georgia. The fields are white for harvest. That's a command we need to take seriously. It's a command given directly from Jesus to a direct group of people who continued sharing that command and sharing that gospel. We need to carry on that work because the fields are white for harvest. We need to continue to share Jesus because there are people who have wandered away from the flock. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories about three things that were lost: a sheep, a coin, and then the last was a boy. Well, technically there were four things. There was the lost brother at the end as well. So four things that were lost in that chapter. There are people who have wandered away. The prodigal son chose to leave. The sheep just kind of wandered off on its own. If someone leaves the church, you know, we need to understand that's a conscientious decision. But we also need to remember that God is waiting for that person to come home. In Luke chapter 15, it took the young man being at his lowest point to realize, I had things so much better when I was at home with my father. And he decided to get up and make that trip back. But the harsh reality is that the father didn't go out and grab that son and bring him back to his home. That's not what God does. He can use us, though, to encourage those who have left his kingdom to come back so that they can be one with him again. There are lost people in this world. We need to do our part to make sure they don't stay that way. Because we want to take as many people with us to heaven as we can. That's our goal, right? I've heard it said before that you can't take your possessions with you. Can't take your money. Can't take your cars, your house, things like that. But you can take your families with you. That's a wonderful thought. That's what matters the most, right? We don't care about money over our family members, or we shouldn't. We want to take as many people with us as possible. That's why we need to share Jesus this next year. And then finally, and this is really important for us to do as well as Christians, as people who are committed to show love to others and share Jesus, we need to let our light shine. We never want to be viewed as a hypocrite, someone who says, oh, I'm a Christian and I do all of this, but then go out and live in a completely different way. Because I can tell you this, that person who does that is not going to bring anyone to Jesus. In fact, they're probably going to drive people away. We don't need to be hypocritical. We need to remember that people are looking at us. People are looking at us sometimes as an example, sometimes looking for reasons to tear us down. We need to be an example. Jesus talks about this being a light in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I think from this passage we see that our influence does have the capability to reach the world. We've all been, you know, driving at night and can see the glow of a city's lights, especially if it's on a hill. Like Jesus said, you can't hide it. People can see it from a long ways away. Our influence that we have on others, people can see if our light is shining. And on the other side, they can see if it's not. You see, influence, a person's influence is twofold. We can be a good influence, a positive influence, or we can be a negative influence. And unfortunately, it's usually the negative influences that tend to stick a little more, that people tend to remember a little more than the positive influences. That's why it's so important for us today that we let our light shine, that we focus on God's Word. Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, he says there, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Part of our influence is who we choose to surround ourselves with. I like to tell the teens all the time, that's one of the most important things you need to remember. Sometimes, and I think even as adults, sometimes we get in this mind frame of thinking, well, I'm on God's side. This temptation doesn't bother me anymore. That is a lie. Paul said right here, this is a lie. Do not be deceived. If you surround yourselves with bad company, you're going to pick up their traits. Happens to the best of us. So, sometimes we need to separate ourselves from certain people for the sake of God so that we can be more Christ-like. And we also don't need to hide our lights. Jesus said, why would you put a lamp on a stand and put a basket over it? It'd be useless at that point, right? It'd be hiding that light. We don't want to hide our lights. Not from the world. We don't want to be ashamed that we're Christians. We don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. But we want to show that we belong to Jesus. And people can tell. People can tell by how we act, the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves. People can tell that, you know, maybe there's something a little different about Philip. We need to make sure that our lights are shining. When I'm thinking about Jesus and his ministry, I think one of the best passages in the Bible that kind of sum up what Jesus did while he was here on earth is in Acts chapter 10. Peter, he's going and he's talking to a group of Gentiles. This was the first preaching of the gospel to Gentile people, people who were not of Jewish descent. And he's talking to these people, and beginning with verse 36, Peter says, "As for the new word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism of John, baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Jesus went about doing good. That's what we need to do. We need to go about doing good to others. We need to share our love. We need to share our Savior. And we need to let our light shine. That's what we need to focus on, I would say, not just our next year, or next few years. That needs to be our eternal focus, to be more Christ-like. Whether it's your 33rd year of life, your Jesus year, so to speak, we need to focus on making every year our Jesus year so that the world can see Him living in us and so that we can bring other people with us to heaven. This morning, as I close up, I want to give an opportunity for anyone here who has never obeyed the gospel. You can do that this morning through faith, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is God's Son, being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can leave here this morning a child of God. It may be that you're here and you need prayers or to ask forgiveness of any sins. We'd like to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. Let's all stand and sing.